Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it is good to be here tonight. And before we do anything tonight, we are going to pray because we always need to do that. So I'm going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee, O God, that thou hast given us this place where we can come together and gather in thy name, this place where we can come together and worship thee. And I pray, Lord, that thy presence would be here tonight. I pray that thy spirit would be upon each and every one of us. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost, I pray. And I ask, O God, that as we sing unto thee, I pray that thou would inspire us to truly worship thee in spirit and in truth, to truly give thee our hearts, to give thee our lives. And I pray, Lord, that everything we do here tonight will be done according to thy perfect will and thy perfect plan. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you can find your chorus book, we are going to start with number 83 tonight from the Rising of the Sun, number 83. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Praise ye the Lord. Praise
of the Lord is to be praised.
We should praise him every moment of every day. Why don't we go now to number 115 and sing, I Will Enter His Gates, number 115. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. He hath made me glad. I will rejoice, for he hath made me glad. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He does put a joy in our hearts. Praise God. You know, it's a wonderful thing when we can worship the Lord and praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, there's another chorus that just popped into my head. I'm not sure of the number, but I am going to see if I can find it. Ah, yes, number 124, the garments of praise, number 124. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. It is such a wonderful thing to magnify the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, with that thought, why don't we go to number 44 and sing Give Unto the Lord, number 44. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, you know, sometimes we might wonder, think, well, I don't have very much to give the Lord, but we can give him our hearts. We can give him our praise. We can give him our worship. Praise the Lord. And he is worthy of all the praise and all the worship we can give him. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we go to number 64 and sing Bless the Lord, number 64. Bless the Lord, O all my soul and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. For He hath done great things. He hath done great things. He hath done great things. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. For He hath done great things. He hath done great things. He hath done great things. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His He hath done great things. He hath done great things. Bless His holy name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. I hope you all like worshiping the Lord, because I tell you what, when we get to heaven, we're going to be doing a lot of it. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. But it's a wonderful thing that we can do it right now. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection. Father in heaven, we thank thee this night, O God, for all that thou hast done for us. We thank thee, O God, that thou hast given us this opportunity to be here, that thou hast given us this place where we can come together and worship thee. We thank thee for thy many blessings, for thy sustaining power, for keeping us here for so many years. And I pray, Lord, that thou would continue to lead, guide, and direct us in all things. I pray that everything we do here would be done according to thy perfect will and thy perfect plan. I pray that thou would give us wisdom on how these funds should be used for thy glory, for the sake of thy name, for we know that these funds belong to thee. And I pray, Lord, that thou hast blessed the givers here this night, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we do have a couple of prayer requests, but before I do that, we did get a comment that the sound was a little unusual tonight, and I think it might be because we moved the mics around on Sunday for the guitar, so I'm going to try to adjust this to back where it was and see if that makes a difference. But move these around a little bit, and that might help. I think that's a pretty close approximation as to where it was. Praise the Lord. Okay, and we do have a prayer request, that something we need to pray for. We all know Ellen, or Ellie as she's sometimes called, and I guess her grandson, Owen, he lives down in Illinois with her son, of course, and he's just a little guy. I'm not sure how old he is, but I think he's one. I'm not entirely sure of his age, but he's just a little guy, and he picked up something he shouldn't have. It was way too hot, and he got a very nasty burn on his hand. So we're just going to pray for him. They did take him to a specialist, I believe, and the doctors think he has a good prognosis, that he will fully recover with no lasting damage, but we're going to pray for him anyway, just to be sure. So we're going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night on behalf of little Owen, praying, O God, that thou would reach down from heaven and touch his body. I pray, Lord, that he would be completely healed. I pray that there would be no lasting effects, no permanent damage from this burn. But I pray, Lord, that thou wouldst touch him. I pray that he would feel thy presence, that he would know that thou art right there with him. I pray, Lord, that he would hear thy voice as thou speak unto him. And I pray, Lord, that thou would be with him all the days of his life. I pray, Lord, that thy blessing would be upon this little boy. And we pray, O God, for a complete healing this night. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. And there's just one other thing I wanted to mention before we sing one more song tonight. But some of you may have known Leah's nephew. I guess really he'd be my nephew too by marriage. But Leah's nephew, Santana, he had been diagnosed a little while back with a rare kidney disease called nephrotic syndrome, and prayer was requested. We've been praying for him. Well, we did just receive a report yesterday, I believe it was, that the disease is completely gone and the doctors are stumped. So praise the Lord for that. I just thought you might all want to hear about that. We do serve a wonderful God, and he can stump doctors sometimes. Praise God. Glory to God. So we're going to sing one more song before we turn things over to Shirley for the night. And I was thinking, why don't we sing that chorus she was playing earlier, number 151, Be Still and Know. Number 151 in the chorus book.
Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know God is God. He will be exalted among the heathen. He will be exalted in will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that God is God. He will be exalted among the heathen. He will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that God is God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that God is God. He will be exalted among the heathen. He will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that God is God. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord.
Sam, can you say a prayer for the people that are in the path of that hurricane? My nieces and nephews are in that path in Florida. So I'm thinking there's kind of maybe less than that hurricane, so it doesn't do so much damage or hurt anyone.
Okay, sure. Father in heaven, we come before thee this night on behalf of Barb's family down south. We pray, Lord, that there would be no damage from the hurricane. We pray that thou wouldst keep them safe. We pray that thou wouldst protect them and watch over them. We pray that they would hear thy voice, that they would feel thy touch, that they would know that thou art right there with them. And I pray, Lord, that they would reach out to thee and seek thee with their whole hearts. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus and the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we will turn this over to Shirley and see what she has to say tonight. Praise God. Glory to God.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be here tonight. So thankful that we know the Lord in these moments of time. I don't know that we can fully realize what really is going on in this world. I believe we're seeing things unfold that we've talked about forever. So it seems all my lifetime is upon us. And if there ever was a time for us to seek the Lord, I know it is now. I know it is now. It's time for us to get serious and to put Him first. Do the things that we plan to do, the things that we really know that we need to do in our hearts. God will just help us and help us to get a hold of the horns of the altar, cry out to Him like never before, for we sure do need Him. Amen. We're going to pray right now and ask God to be here. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your precious promises. We're so thankful that we know who you are, Lord, and we know that you are going to judge this earth, oh Lord, and that you're going to take charge. You are in charge. Oh God, you are God, and oh Lord, you will be exalted in this earth. Oh God, oh Lord, they're going to know you. They're going to see you, Lord. They're going to have to acknowledge you, Lord Jesus. But I ask, oh Lord, that you'd help us to acknowledge you here tonight, Lord. Pray, oh God, that you talk to us, Lord, that you draw us close to you, Lord, that you, oh God, give us faith to believe you in these moments of time, Lord. Give us faith to draw nigh to you, Lord. Give us faith to believe you for your precious promises, Lord. Oh God, only you know the day and the hour, Lord, the things that, oh God, are in our path, Lord, and oh God, what could happen in the near future, Lord, but oh God, I pray that, oh Lord, you'd help us, Lord, to grasp a hold of faith, Lord. Help us to believe you, God. Help us, oh Lord, to seek you now. Oh God, help us to know what to do and how to prepare. Oh God, and oh God, how to have that spiritual strength to overcome, oh Lord, the wiles of the devil, Lord. Oh God, all the things that he might put on our path. Oh, Lord God, but I pray that you give us strength, Lord, that you teach us how to pray, that you teach us how to seek you, Lord, that you teach us how to draw nigh. Oh, God, how to rebuke the strong man, Lord, how to lay hold on eternal life, God. I pray that you'd help us, Lord. I pray that you talk to our hearts, that you tug at our hearts, that you give us thy reassurances. Oh, God, help us to forget the things that don't matter. Oh, God, help us to draw nigh to you with true hearts. Oh, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, asking that you'd use this message, Lord, that you'd speak to hearts, that you'd draw your people to yourself, Lord, that, oh, God, you call the unsaved ones to yourself also, Lord God. And, oh, God, that you'd help us to grasp the realities that we need to grasp, oh, Lord, and do the things that we need to do, Lord, to be right with you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. By the power of the blood, in Jesus' name, oh Lord, take charge and help us, Lord. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see and a mind to perceive, oh Lord, the things of God. I ask this in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, in Jesus' name, let the enemy be rebuked. Oh God, let all hindrances go in the name of Jesus. And help us, Lord, as we draw nigh to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just so thankful to hear the good report there with your nephew, right? And you know, that's just a sample of what God is able to do if we could just believe him and grab a hold of faith like never before. And you know, we've prayed many times about people that were in the paths of hurricanes and tornadoes and how God has intervened. I know Sister Shirley there in Oklahoma has wonderful stories to tell how God has been with those that seek his face and how he has changed even the path of tornadoes and all this and this sort of thing. But that's our God. He's very concerned, you know, and he's very able. He's extremely capable. And, you know, if there's anybody that we can trust, it's got to be God. And of course, you know, he knows how to do all things well. He doesn't make mistakes. He's not, you know, he's not full of failures. And, you know, we can have such confidence in him and know that he is our God and the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. We're going to call this message, Christ in You, the Hope of Glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Christ in You, the Hope of Glory. Praise the Lord. Now, we do know, and we've gone here, I suppose practically every week, I don't know, I think between Sam and I, we hit this chapter all the time, John the 14th chapter, but just to start here tonight, let's just go here again, in this Word of God that speaks to our heart, never gets old, and I'm so thankful for that. But here, if we can go to John 14, and we'll look at verse 15 to begin here. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Amen. I'm just going to stop right there. And I just think it must have been a wonderful thing for those that heard that. I know they didn't comprehend it at the moment. You know, Jesus was talking to them, of course, before the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost. And, you know, they couldn't fully understand by any means. They just had glimpses of what he was going to do. But you know how reassuring it must have been. I mean, they didn't want to grab onto the reality that he was going to leave them. You know, the fact that he was going to be crucified, oh my, that was just too hard to bear in reality. But, you know, here he's telling them, and of course these words came alive to him later. You know, later they fully understood what he had said here. But praise the Lord, he was telling them, you know, he's not going to leave them comfortless, but he was going to come unto them. And, you know, he's talking about the world can't receive me. They don't know me. They haven't seen me in reality, but those that believed, they knew him. And he said that he had dwelt with them. But beyond that, he was going to be in them. He was going to be in them. He was going to enable them. He was going to give them power. And he's going to come and dwell in their very beings, not leaving them comfortless, but coming unto them. And what a wonderful story that is. Oh, it must have been so wonderful. And of course, when it finally happened on the day of Pentecost, how glorious those moments were. I don't doubt that one moment. Yes, because I know if we've all received our own Pentecost, we know how wonderful it is when the Spirit of the Lord truly comes into our life, begins to change us and work in us in a new and different way. And truly, it is of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to Colossians, the first chapter here tonight, and read this chapter for one thing and see how the Lord leads. You know, here it is. It's an interesting chapter. It's an interesting book. It's a wonderful book, really. But I didn't really understand that. I don't believe from the way it reads that Paul really hadn't established this church of Colossae here. He's writing to them. He's obviously very anxious that they are desirous, rather, that they would be close to the Lord and filled with his knowledge and his strength and all of that. But it seems to me that Epaphras was the one who had founded this church, and actually, obviously, he was with Paul at the moment. And he was a journeyman with him, the missionary with him at this point, from what I can discern. And in the book of Philemon, there's also mention of this man, Epaphras, and at that point, Paul addresses him as his fellow prisoner. So obviously, you know, he was instrumental in bringing this church of Colossae together and be their minister, obviously, for that season. And obviously, it was very dear in his heart. It was very close in his heart. And in fact, if we just want to, just before I begin, just note that the fourth chapter, Colossians, verse 12, there's a reference to him. And it says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Oh, praise the Lord. So obviously he was a man with a burden, very concerned about this people here at Colossae, and of course Paul obviously was too. And he had good things to share. He was just very desirous that the word of God would be deep in them. And I think that's the way it needs to be with us today, that God's word would abound in us and there would be deepness, that God's people would bring forth fruit and be strengthened with all might from above. Oh, yes, according to the glorious power and ability of our God. But let's just begin by reading this chapter here, Colossians, the first chapter. See what the Lord might show us here. says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, where have you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. And then he says, and ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So obviously that's the introduction to his letter here, and he's writing to this church, Paul is, and you know, he's mentioning Epaphras, and you know, obviously, like I said, he was a faithful minister of Christ, and obviously he had shared, you know, his love and passion for these people, and it caught on. Paul also, as he said, you know, that for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And here we just have two concerns here, the knowledge of his will in all wisdom. Oh yes, to know the mind of Christ, to know his will specifically. And you know, sometimes it doesn't always come easy, but sometimes it's day by day and moment by moment listening to the voice of God and following after him to know his will in all wisdom. Of course, to gain spiritual understanding. Oh yes, we don't want to be without roots. We want to be deep in the scripture. We want to know the word of God. We want to have it hidden in our heart. And obviously this was Paul's desire for these people, that they would be filled, you know, not just a little bit, but be filled, their cup full with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and with spiritual understanding, so they could rightly discern the word of truth, and they could rightly expound it, they could rightly know it. And I know in this time period that we live in, this is so missing. It is so missing. You could hardly find a church where they really know the mind of God and really have spiritual understanding. It's just been such embracement of half-truths and Schofieldism and other things that pertain to even heathenism, even in churches, as we know, embracement of holidays that are truly in pagan realities and traditions. But here he's telling them, you know, I am not ceasing to pray for you. I'm just continually praying for you. You're on my heart. And then he says in verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He's very fervent for these people, very desirous that also that they would bring forth fruit. And I know that's the might of God also, that his people would be fruitful spiritually, and that, you know, we would go forth and do the will of God and be fruitful, that, you know, our work would not be in vain, but there would be results because of our work and endeavors, our love for the Lord. And so he's saying here that his desire is that they would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing God, that is, being fruitful in every good work, doing the things that matter, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And, you know, when it talks about every good works, I know we're not saved by works, But good works follow the children of God. It just is the way it is, because heart is stayed on Him. And because, you know, we love one another, then we want to help one another. I think it's interesting when you think of Ephesians, the second chapter, in verse 8, it clearly says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But then that 10th verse there in that chapter says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So we're not saved by works, by any means. And so many religions try to have some kind of way that you can be saved by doing good. But that's not how we're saved. But because we are the Lord's, and because He has saved us, good works follow us. That should be our nature. That was the nature of the Lord Jesus. And if He's in us, then those works should follow in us also, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. In other words, it's a way of life that we walk in good works. So that was Paul's desire for the church there at Colossae. It says in verse 11, "Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness." And you know, that's kind of a mouthful there, you know. Strengthened with all might. And you know, we need to consider this. You know, what strengthens our faith in these time periods? You know, what is it that makes us strong spiritually? You know, if we were going to run a marathon, I don't think we would practice by sitting in a chair. You know, I don't think you would just lay in bed all day and just think that one day we're going to get up and run this race and you know, do well. I don't think we would think that way at all. I think, boy, if we were going to run a marathon, we'd be out there every day running and practicing and getting in shape and, you know, encouraging our muscles to develop properly so that we could do this thing and not faint on the way and fall down. But if we need to be spiritually strengthened, we're going to have to do works. We're going to have faith. We're going to have to stand up for the things that matter if we're going to be strengthened spiritually with all might. Oh, I don't think it's going to happen by, you know, sitting on the couch and watching television. I don't think it's going to happen by going to those parties and, you know, boozing up and whatever all and, you know, looking over material that is definitely spiritually deficit, I guess you could say, just spiritually void of any goodness. We're going to have to do things that promote faith. We're going to have to get close to the Lord. And if we ever needed a time of revival, I truly believe we need it right now. It's time for us to be on bended knee, to get close to the Lord. Oh yes, to know the scripture, to put it in our heart, to meditate on the things that are from above. Oh yes, to have our attention, our devotion to the things that pertain to God. If we're going to be strengthened, if we're going to have faith in these last times, yes, it's not going to come by, you know, watching some horror movie and, you know, other things that are of this world. It's not going to come by feeding the flesh. But we're going to have to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're going to be strengthened. We're going to have to do the things that matter. And then it says, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. And, you know, we serve a God with whom there is no limit. You know, we could always grow more and more and more. There's always more that we need from the Lord. There's always more maturity that needs to grow in us. But praise the Lord, there's no limit to our God. There's no limit to His faith. According to His glorious power, it says here, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. And that's quite a stretch there, patience and long suffering with joyfulness. You know, patience doesn't come easily, as I think we all probably know. I guess years and years ago, I think before I had children and all that, I guess I sort of thought I was a patient person, but I'll tell you what, I had some children, and pretty soon I realized I needed a lot more patience than I ever thought. You know, it just wasn't there. But the Lord knows how to grow us. He knows how to get us to that place that we need to be. And you know, if we think of Romans, the 5th chapter, Paul was writing, and he said, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Glory in tribulations, he says here, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Like I said, it doesn't come easily. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Oh yes, it doesn't come easily, but we might have to go through some hard things in order to gain that ground that we need in the Lord. But here Paul is writing, he's saying, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering. And he says, with joyfulness. Oh, willing to suffer for the name of Christ. Oh, yes. And that's not easy. But praise the Lord, Jesus himself told us that they persecute us, that we're supposed to rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is our reward in heaven. You know, and that's the way it is, you know. They're not going to understand us. They're going to despise us many times, and especially in these time periods. You know, I know I overheard a conversation the other day, actually, in a store, and I guess it was in St. Paul, Minnesota, and these two guys were talking, and they were talking about Lot. And, you know, I heard the one say, well, let's get real, you know, this. You know, that's just fable, you know. And I thought, oh no, I just would have loved to have just had a few words there. But, you know, it's pathetic, you know. They've given their hearts over to things that are of this world, things that relate to fables, things that are of the occult. And, oh, they're, you know, they don't know the mind of Christ by any means, for the most part, these individuals. And they're certainly not going to understand us if we're living for the Lord. And then it tells us in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now that's not a small undertaking, to make us meet, to make us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Because I'll tell you what, you know, we don't come to God in any perfection by any means. We're all a long ways off from the perfection that is in Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what, that's one reason he gives us the Holy Ghost. Oh, that he can begin to work in our life. That he begin to change us and deliver us from all our traits and tendencies that are just carnal and of this world. You know, it's a great undertaking. But that's God's will, that he would make us meet, that he would make us fit, so that one day we can be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And then he tells us here, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And this is beautiful. We all were on that other path at one point. We were all sinners. We were all short of the glory of God. And we needed salvation. We were all walking in the dark. But praise the Lord, when that glorious light shined in our hearts, and all at once we could behold the face of Jesus Christ, so to speak, and all at once we could see our need to come to Him, and you know, the light of the gospel begin to shine, the reality of it. We could see and understand and come to the Lord. What a beautiful moment. Oh, yes, when we came to Him and He took our sins from us. Oh, yes. But not only that, there was a great change that was made in us. He delivered us from the power of darkness, but also there was a translation that took place instead of just being in this world. Oh, yeah, in the flesh, we're in this world at this moment, but yet there was a spiritual transformation. Oh, yes, He translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Oh, yes, so that we can be participants in His kingdom. Oh, yes, we know, as it tells us in the book of John, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It's no way, and that's how we're born into this world, of flesh and blood. But that doesn't get us into heaven. Just being born once isn't going to get us into heaven. But of course, as we're told in John the 3rd chapter, we must be born again of the water and of the Spirit to enter into the kingdom of God. We must be born again. And of course, you know, Jesus told that Samaritan woman, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Oh yes, Nicodemus didn't understand it. He didn't get it at that moment. But Jesus was teaching them a spiritual reality, the need to be born again. And He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Oh yes, that sound that comes forth when we're born again of the Spirit of God. Oh yes, when He comes into our life and He takes that unruly member of our body, that old tongue of ours that has gotten us into so much trouble, and begins to work in us and begins to talk through us all at once. You know, there may be that quivering and that stammering lip and another tongue as He begins to speak through us. The Spirit of God begins to come into our life. Oh yes, that sound. Yes, we don't see where it's coming from. We don't know where it's going exactly, but we can hear the sound, just as you can hear the sound of the wind. Oh yes, Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. And so it is. God gives us that transforming power of the Holy Ghost to change us. You know, all things become new as we enter into that kingdom of God. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So it tells us there in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. So it is. God does a wonderful deliverance on our behalf when we truly come to Him and allow Him to change us. And I'll tell you what, sometimes growth is stunted spiritually. Sometimes people come to the Lord and stay babies. And that's not good. I know in Hebrews, I believe it's the 5th chapter, Paul wrote to those Hebrew people, and he was telling them that they weren't strong spiritually, that he couldn't feed them strong meat because spiritually they were stunted. They still needed milk. They were still babes. But God would have us to grow. And what a beautiful thing it is to see somebody come into the kingdom of God, being born again, and then to see them grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What a beautiful thing it is to see maturity and all the Lord as He begins to perfect us. You know, again, it's no small undertaking at all for Him to change us to help us to be fit or meet, as it says here in this chapter, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of God in light. You know, so it's quite a marvel. But praise the Lord, God knows how to do it. And you know, sometimes the things that happen to us aren't easy. You know, like it told us, to glory in tribulations. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience and experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. But there God has done a wonderful work in delivering us from the power of darkness and translating us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Oh, yes. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is when God begins his work on our lives. You know, I tell you what, if somebody tells me they're a Christian and, you know, they're just like everybody else and there's no fruit in their life and there's no changes, I'm not going to believe that. I'm not going to believe that. You know, they're just as carnal as anybody else. Well, then please don't tell me that you're a Christian. You know, there's got to be evidence. To be a Christian means that you're like Christ. Oh, yes. It's not going to come easily. It's not going to come easily. You know, we all come out of this world, you know, just looking here quickly at 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 9, where it describes, oh, that past. And, of course, our pasts are all buried, but, you know, we are all sinners. We are all had all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it tells us in verse 9 here, 1 Corinthians 6, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. There is just no way you're going to get in if you're full of sin. Oh, yes, evil practices are part of your life, you know, if you're doing the works of unrighteousness. There's no way. Just none of these shall inherit the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. He knows how to help us. He knows how to change us. Verse 11 says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our Lord. See, he gives us the Holy Ghost. First, we're washed in his blood. As we come to him in repentance, and we're sanctified, we're made holy as we yield our lives to the Lord and surrender. We go down in the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then he justifies us. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Those unrighteous deeds of our past are made just by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, that infilling of the Holy Ghost as he comes into our life, the Spirit of our God. Oh, the wonderful gift of full salvation as he comes in to indwell in us and to change us. And of course, speaking of Titus, the 3rd chapter for a moment, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Oh, what a wonderful thing. Again, it was nothing that we could do of ourselves. In fact, our own righteousnesses, as we know, are but filthy rags in the sight of God. It's all is an unclean thing. And then there was no way we could find salvation of our own works, of our own self. So it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his grace he saved us. All that unmerited favor that he gave us by the washing of regeneration. Praise the Lord. Something happens when we go down into the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That washing of regeneration, making us new. A new person, a new creature in Christ. and the renewing of the Holy Ghost when His Spirit comes into our life, which He shed on us, it says, abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord. That's what He's done for us. Oh, yes, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Again, going back to Colossians, the first chapter, verse 13. And hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, and whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Then it goes on to identify our wonderful Savior. It says in verse 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. The Creator, the Word of God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh, and the Word dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Oh yes, the Creator, God, robed Himself in flesh and came to this world to save us, to redeem us. Here He was, the image of the invisible God, the Creator, the Word that was in the beginning. But here He is, putting on flesh with the sole intention of bringing forth salvation for His people. Oh, what a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. It explains it somewhat in Philippians, the second chapter, if we just look at that a minute. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, as a man, as a man, here He is, the Creator, King of kings and Lord of lords, coming to this earth in the form of a servant. I mean, who would do that? What king steps down from his throne and, you know, lives among the poor? But that's what Jesus Christ did. That's exactly what He did. He made Himself of no reputation. Oh, He didn't even claim, you know, any power or prestige. A man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our face from Him. But He took upon Himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Oh, yes, and His house is in verse 8 here in Philippians. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Oh yes, that name, He will be exalted. One day soon, Jesus will be exalted, and every knee is going to bow before Him. Every tongue is going to confess that He is the Lord, that He is the Savior, that He is God. Praise the Lord, they're going to know it. Amen. But praise the Lord, who is like unto our God that would come to this earth being of no reputation, the form of a servant, the form of man, and becoming obedient unto death, taking on the death of the cross. I tell you what, there's no story more beautiful than that. You know, that is beyond my mind, and you know, what I could comprehend, that one would love us so much that He would put on flesh to come to this world. I'll tell you what, that is beyond our comprehension of love, what Jesus Christ did for us. Oh, yes, that we might be his sons and daughters. Oh, that we might be heirs of eternal life, that we might have an inheritance in the heavens. And praise the Lord. It continues to say here, verse 16 again, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. You can't get greater than that. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. You know, no wonder Jesus could tell them, before Abraham was, I was. You know, he could tell them that. They didn't like that. They didn't want to understand that, you know. You know, they took up stones. They were ready to stone him because, you know, he being a man made himself equal with God. But that's what he had done. He was before Abraham. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He's the creator. And it says in verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He's the head. He's the head cornerstone. And all things from him consist. He's the beginning. Of course, he's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He's the firstborn from the dead. And oh, my. That in all things he might have the preeminence. Oh, yes. That special place of excellence. And then it tells us, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It was all in the Lord Jesus. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. We were far from God. We were astray. We were alienated from the plan of salvation. We were enemies, it tells us here. But yet, he did a work of reconciliation. In other words, he was bringing us back. He was allowing us to come to God. He was reconciling us in spite of our willful sins and our ugly deeds and our awful past. The fact that we've been his enemy. But here he is, putting on flesh to come to this world to save us. And then sending forth his Spirit so that we might be filled with his Spirit. And then it tells us in verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And then it continues. That was, you know, he's going to change us. You know, he's going to make us new creatures in Christ. So we could stand before him one day and we could be holy. We could be without any blame at all because our sins are gone. He's washed them away. We can stand before him without sin and without any reproof, unreprovable in his sight. Any blemishes or blame, just, you know, ready to meet the Lord without sin in our life, to stand before him. But it tells us in verse 23, there's a condition here. There's a condition to this. We've, you know, been brought to the Lord. And what a wonderful work. But, you know, it's a continual process because he's going to make us something else. He's going to turn us into the image of his dear Son so that he can present us, as I just read, holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. But it says, if, ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Oh, yes, there's a continuance needed here. We do know that from the 13th chapter of Matthew that the seed falls on various grounds. There are some people that come to the Lord with joy, but after a while, the trials of this world or the persecutions arise, and all at once, you know, they're no longer serving the Lord. Oh, yes. Sometimes it's persecution, and sometimes, yeah, the roots don't go deep enough so that when the struggles, the hard moments come, the difficulties come and start to rock the boat, and, you know, the doubts begin to go through the mind, and, you know, all the, oh, wow, all the wonderings that our human flesh, our human mind goes through. If we're not settled, if we're not grounded, if our roots aren't deep, we could easily fall. Oh yes, we could easily go back to that old world that we once knew. So it's so important, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, grounded, deep roots, grounded, settled, it's established in your heart. You know in whom you have believed. And you're persuaded that he's able to keep that which you've committed unto him against that day. It's settled in your heart. You've determined that you're going to serve the Lord, no matter if everybody else gets up and leaves. No matter if you're the only person left in the world that you know that is serving God. No matter if your sons and your daughters, your mother or your father, your aunts or your uncles or all the neighbors that you know, everybody who sat here in the church with you disappears, yet you're going to serve the Lord because it's in your heart. You know, no matter what, no matter if they poke your eyes out or beat you with whip or God knows what else, but yet it's there, it's settled in your heart, and you're determined. It says, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, that hope, that deep hope that's within us, that hope of glory, that hope that one day we're going to stand before Christ without any blame, without any sin, without any reproach, holy in his sight, that hope that one day we're going to reign with him as sons and daughters in Christ. So if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Oh, it's deep down inside. It's deep. Though none may follow, yet I will follow. Which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Somehow people are not going to be with excuse when they stand before God. God knows how to make himself known. Oh, yes, that gospel goes forth. God knows how to proclaim it one way or the other. And I know we are his voice if we're being used of him. And whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, he wrote here. But it's so important to be grounded in the word, to be settled in our hearts, to be established, to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you what, it's not enough to just have a little filling of the Holy Ghost. We need our cup to be recharged, to be refilled again and again and again. Oh, it needs to be bubbling over within us. Oh, yes, because the cares of this world, oh, tend to bring us down. And the discouragement and, you know, the whiplashes of the enemy and all the things, all the struggles, all the problems, all the confusion. But yet, if we're anchored in the Lord, if that's our hope, then all will be well. Then we can stand in spite of the waves that try to rock our boats. It tells us in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 35, and this is so important. It tells us, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. The promise. He's coming again. for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Oh, yes, it's going to happen all at once, the sound of the trumpet. Oh, yes, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we are to comfort one another with those words. But it's going to happen one day. It's going to happen. He is coming back. This same Jesus that you saw ascend into the heavens, as that angel told those that had watched him go up into the heavens, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him return into the heavens. He's coming back the same way. He's coming back. Yes, for yet a little while. And he that shall come and will not tarry. It's going to be quickly. He said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to as his work shall be. And it's going to be as a snare upon many that are upon the face of this earth, because all at once it's there. You know, we've talked about it. We've talked about it. You know, from day to day, you know, it's been a topic of conversation, of many messages, you know, clearly, oh yes, discussed in the Word of God, but it will happen. He's not going to tarry. Oh yes, when it's time for him to put in that sickle and reap this earth, it's going to happen. He's not going to tarry. It's going to be suddenly, as a snare, as a thief in the night. Then verse 38 here in Hebrews 10, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Oh, we must not draw back. We must not turn around. We must not leave off the good things of God. Oh, yes, we're going to have to continue in this race. We've got to be strengthened with might from above. We've got to know our Lord. We've got to be filled with His Spirit. We've got to have faith. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Oh, not at all. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. I'll tell you what, it's a serious, serious thing to draw back, to backslide, to go back into the world, to turn around like Lot's wife turned around. It says unto perdition. That means hell. That means the lake of fire. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Oh, yes, it's deep in us. Those roots have to go deep because our anchor has to hold during those storms of life. We have to be anchored in the Lord. And I'll tell you what, God has tremendous mercy. But in the book of Ezekiel, we realize how important it is to end this race properly. Just looking at it here briefly here, Ezekiel the 18th chapter. You see God's mercy here. We look at verse 21 here for a moment. He says, but if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. See the great mercy of God. And I've seen people turn to God on their deathbeds, and God has shown great mercy to them. The wicked turning from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. The Lord takes those transgressions. Oh, it tells us in verse 22, all his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. Now I'll tell you, how could there be such wonderful mercy, greater mercy than that? the Lord not mentioning it, not thinking of it, you know, burying it. That sea of forgetfulness, all his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Oh, the great mercy of God. Verse 23 asks, have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Oh, God has no pleasure in that. Saith the Lord God, it's his will that all would come to repentance, that none should perish. And not that he should return from his ways and live. God doesn't have any pleasure in seeing somebody destroyed spiritually. But the sad thing here is, you look, some people begin this race. And you know, this race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. There's we're in an endurance race. It's he that endureth until the end, the same shall be saved. We've got to keep going. We can't give up. Oh Lord, help us. We can't give up, no matter how severe the circumstances may get. We have to continue to walk with the Lord. We've got to know in who we believe and realize that he knows how to get us home. But there are some that turn away. In verse 24 here in Ezekiel 18 refers to such. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. It's how we end up. We don't want to end up in sin. We don't want to end up backslidden. We don't want to end up turning away from the ways of the Lord, because, oh, it's a horrible thing to die in our sins. And it says, yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done, shall he die. Praise the Lord. But it says in verse 27, again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul and live, or he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. Oh, that's the heartbeat of the Lord. People would get right. And again, I've seen it several times, many times, how the Lord has great mercy. That calling out, you know, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The great mercy of the Lord. Make it a way somehow if that person will only turn to him. Praise the Lord, he knows how to do it. But so, continuing here in Colossians. And again, verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. And then it says in verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Oh, Paul, as an individual, went through many sufferings. And, you know, he was doing it for the sake of the church of the living God, for the people that, oh, he had a great zeal for. Because he was doing it for the sake of the church, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, his holy temple that he has reserved for himself. And Paul writes in verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And he says in verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, it was a little hard for the Jewish people at first to see the Gentiles come to the Lord. God had to do some major things in order to convince Peter to go to Cornelius and his household. But he did. He did. And Peter began to realize that God is no respecter of person, because there was something that was a mystery. Oh, during that first period of time, that first Old Covenant period of time, they didn't realize that God was going to bring forth a plan that he was going to call forth not only a Jewish people, but also a Gentile people. He was going to open up a plan of salvation for all people, all that the Lord our God should call. He was going to open up that door of salvation unto all. And it was a mystery at the first for many, all those generations. It was hid from the ages under that old covenant. But that is the riches of his glory, of the mystery that God would reveal himself to the Gentile people. That special privilege that we, if we are Gentiles, could also be heirs of the kingdom of God, and that Christ could be in us, the Spirit of a living God. Christ in you, he says here, the hope of glory. Oh, the Lord coming down, bringing forth his Spirit so that we could be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Oh, yes, so that we could be filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, my, what a model that is. It had been the hidden wisdom of God in the earlier dispensation of time there. Oh, in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, it tells us First Corinthians, the second chapter, it tells us, verse 4, my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Oh yes, he was going to bring forth the salvation by the foolishness of preaching, which would be to the Jews a stumbling block. To the Greeks it would be foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And Paul said, my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom. He wasn't an orator, but there was something else. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He was a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, the power of God, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Then he said in verse 6 here, 1 Corinthians 2, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. I mean, this was in the plan of God. From the beginning, before the world even, God knew he was going to put on flesh and come to this world to bring forth a people. It was the hidden wisdom of him. It tells us in verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh, yeah, the things that are on the other side. And oh, yeah, I tell you what, might not be all so fun here on this earth. And we do have trials, we do have tribulation, we do have heartaches, we do have sorrow, we do have burdens, we do have cares. Oh, things aren't so rosy, it's times that we might not know where our next meal might be coming from. We might not know where we're going to sleep at some point. But yet if we could keep in mind, oh, as it is written, I have not seen nor ear hath heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Oh, praise the Lord. There's things on the other side that, oh, are going to be so beyond our present comprehension and knowledge. The things that he has reserved for those that love him. What a wonderful thing we have in serving the Lord. We could just hold true and stay true. But God had opened up that mystery to them, that thing that they hadn't understood in earlier dispensations. As it tells us here again in Colossians, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Oh, he would come and be in his people and even in the Gentile people, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You can feel this, that, you know, Paul had a reason he was writing this epistle. He had a concern. He had a love for these people. I don't believe he had met them yet at this point. I feel like he hadn't. But yet there was a concern for them. And he's going to, you know, do his best to give them what they need so that they can enter in, so that they can be presented before the Lord Jesus perfect. Oh yes, so that they can go forth filled with the Holy Ghost and be presented holy and unblameable and unreprovable in the sight of God. Oh, what a day that's going to be when we stand before God. Oh yes, we know, as we read there from Philippians, you know, they're all going to be there. They're all going to know at that moment, no matter how much they scorned and ridiculed and mocked while on earth, no matter how atheistic they wanted to be, or agnostic, or heathen, or whatever all they wanted to hold to while they lived here on this earth, yet, oh my, they're going to know Jesus, who he is. They're going to regret it. Oh my, there's going to be great anguish. Oh yes, there's going to be great sorrow that's going to strike their very being at that moment when, oh yes, every eye shall see him. Oh, and they which crucified him are going to behold him. Those that pierced him. And it talks about how they're going to wail when they see him, because of him, that sudden understanding that here he is, King of kings, Lord of lords, God of the earth, the creator, the Messiah, the Christ. And yet, they had rejected him. But we don't have to. We have opportunity here tonight to give him our hearts, to give him our lives. Oh yes, that we could be strengthened in the inner man. And that's why Paul was presenting this. It says in verse 29 here, as we end this first chapter of Colossians, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Oh yes, he wanted to be able to present a people before the Lord. He wanted fruit to give back to God who had saved him. And he was bringing forth the gospel. Oh, that wonderful news that Christ could be in us as human beings, the hope of glory, that we could have this hope in our earthen vessel. And yes, that we could go forth and declare it and know it and believe it and stand on it. For surely he that will come and will not tarry. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. By his grace, we're going to be ready. We're going to stand. No matter what happens in this world, we've got to have that strength. And praise the Lord, he could be in us. That indwelling spirit of the Holy Ghost, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, I just pray that you'd help us here tonight. Oh, God, I pray that you'd call us to that higher ground. And, oh, God, that you'd put that deepness within us, Lord, so that no matter what, Lord, oh, God, we would go forward. Oh, God, we would rest in you, Lord. Oh, God, no matter, oh, Lord, if everybody else takes that mark, God, I pray that you'd give us that strength. Oh, God, that hope in you, that settling in our heart, oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, those roots, oh, God, they go deep, Lord. Oh, God, talk to our hearts. Get us to that higher ground, Lord. Urge us on, Lord God, and help us, Lord, to be able to stand. Oh, God, against the wiles of the devil. Oh, Lord, put it within us, Lord, and help us to call upon you now while you are near. Help us to draw nigh to you now while you are here with us, while that door is still open. I pray this in the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Praise the Lord. Well, in closing, we're going to go to number 72 in the chorus book, For He is Lord, number 72.
He is Lord. He is.
Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.